Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Up the Poshcast. Sky Sports renowned Up the Poshcast, that should be, after our 1-1 draw with Barnsley today. I, John, am joined by three men who all made their trip up to Barnsley today. I've got Ash, Dell, and Max with me, and I'm going to throw straight to Ashley to get his thoughts on the game.
Do you know what? I think that the biggest thing for me is just this sense of relief and that it's finally over. It's been probably one of the longest seasons watching Posh that I've ever known. And I'm just, like I say, relieved that we've finally managed to get over the line, that we've got three games now where we don't need to worry about the fact that we might get relegated. It wasn't a pretty game today. I actually thought that when we went one up that we probably should have scored more. But it's a day-old sort of issue with Posh at the moment, is that we're not taking the chances that we're given. And then, you know, it's a great finish from the lad from Barnsley. And then the second half was, Jesus, what a waste of time that was. That really did sum up the day, didn't it? A grim day in Yorkshire after we've had, you know, some fantastic days at Barnsley. Today was definitely not one of them. It was almost like the players couldn't wait to get off the pitch. But, you know, the job's done now, isn't it? So everybody can relax. We can enjoy the rest of the season, hopefully go and get some results and see some players that maybe haven't got as many minutes as they want, and hopefully patch some people up ready for next season.
Yeah, I think again, it's so nice to be rid of this season. I mean, we've still got three games left, but they all really mean nothing now, regardless of where we finish. It doesn't matter. We're not going down. We're not going up. There's nothing we can do about it. So, obviously, it'd be nice to go and get three wins and build some momentum to hopefully go into pre-season, have a good pre-season, and then go into next season with. But look, if we lose all three, I couldn't care less. I think this is going to be really important for the players that haven't played. I think there's a number of them. I'm sure we'll discuss later on those sorts of players that need to sort of get into the team and have a go now. Ferguson in his post-match interview that look, he wasn't going to do that, and he's going for three wins and we're going to finish as high as they can. But I really feel like some of these players need to sort of get their careers back on track, especially those that have sat on the bench all year. We're losing basically the spine from last season, that everybody will go now. Poku, Ricky and Kyprianou, Jed Steer will be the only remaining member of that squad from last year that started for us. So I think it's going to be, and Malik. So look, I think it's going to be an interesting sort of end of the season on players' careers, but that was a really dire game. And I did not enjoy it one bit. And it was boring, but at the end of the day, you get the job done. You can't really complain, can you?
No, do you know what? That is, it was definitely one of those games towards the end of the season, not really anything to play for. I know at the time he wasn't mathematically safe, but it would have been a bit of a miracle needed for us to go down. But it was one of them really sort of, it wasn't shit. And it was a bit like the other day, wasn't it? Where it was just an average game. You know, most of the players I scored average, and some not really standout games, but performances, but just some average performances. It was, I don't know, it's hard to explain how the game was, because even Barnsley, you can see why so many Barnsley fans are pissed off at the team at the moment, and why there was 11,000 there. How was there 11,000 there? Fuck, I wish some of these clubs would start counting properly, but you know, it was a half empty ground compared to what it was a while back, over the last few years. But you know, it was, some players were playing either very, very well, or them having shit moments, which made them average, if that makes sense. You know, some moments of brilliance and then some shit. And that was like the theme across the team today, in my opinion. It was very, just inconsistent. But, you know, end of the season's done. Obviously, it looks like we've got a few people that are injured for the rest of the season, whether that's 2 weeks or whatever it is. Get them all back and then see what happens, for next year. But I'm just also, before I go off on another tangent, I'm sitting here. If you're watching YouTube, I don't actually have a dog collar on, which it looks like. It's actually a T-shirt. All right, so I've not come out in sympathy for the Pope because I'm not really religious. But, and also, where was the fucking minute applause in the 88th minute? Anyway, so, as far as the game goes, it was very meh. But, yeah, we're still unbeaten at Barnsley.
Yeah, I actually quite enjoyed the first half. And then I thought the second half was absolutely awful to watch. I think a lot of that came down to the fact that Ricky J. Jones was subbed off and Gustav Lindgren was subbed on. And actually, I thought it was a tough watch today for Lindgren. I thought if there was ever evidence that he is a long way behind Ricky at the minute, and look, Ricky's had some criticism this season. He's certainly not the perfectly one striker. I thought that was it. I thought, how long can we keep saying, and Fergie said this in his post-match as well, Lindgren's runs are really good, we're just not on the same wavelength. Okay, that may be the case, but he has to do something, anything, just get involved with the game at all. He keeps coming on and not touching the ball or just not getting involved, or I just don't remember anything that he did. He had a couple of chances where it came across the box, I guess, today, but just nothing. He's so insipid and he looks just so far off it. And then I hear Fergie saying that he wants to go in with Lindgren being our number nine next season. And I have to say, I'm worried. If we're going to back that, he's going to need to improve. How long have we got until next season starts? What, 3 months, let's say? He needs to become such a more refined player over those 3 months that I'm just not sure he's got that development in him to become a proper League One striker in that short amount of time. So I am concerned about him. I thought it was a great way for Ricky to sign off, given that he's just got injured and it seems like that's probably going to be the end of his posh career, sadly. I thought it was a lovely way to sign off. And if he adds that finish that he managed today to his game, he will be a great striker. He needs to find that consistently because all of Ricky's goals pretty much are tap-ins, aren't they? They're scrappy 6-yard box goals that he sort of pokes in and it never really looks very comfortable. But that was a really refined finish. And I thought he gave them no end of problems. You can see when you watch Ricky what he does. And when teams play that high line, it's so hard to defend against. And genuinely, I thought the turning point in the match to an extent was him going off and Lindgren coming on. And after that, we just posed such little threat. I thought it was a bad day for some of our fringe players today, actually, that kind of exposed them, that they're just not up to the level. And really, it was a game which sort of summed up the season, because there were some moments where we looked, certainly in the first half, where we looked a really good team. But ultimately, we just looked, pretty average. And that is where we are as a football club at the minute, sadly.
Yeah, do you know what? I think that's probably the frustrating thing with Ricky, isn't it? Is that was his 200th appearance today, and it still doesn't feel like we've seen the best of him. And it's just going to be such a shame that we're not going to see, like, he will develop for another 1, 2, 3 years and become a better footballer, become a better goal scorer. And it's a shame that we're not going to see that, despite him being 200 appearances down the line. Like you said, John, that finish was, I think, probably just outside the box. So, he's fluffed plenty of those and kicked them straight at the keeper. So it was a great finish. And yeah, when you talk about Gustav, it's a really difficult one with him, because I do agree with what Fergie says, is that the players aren't finding him with his runs. But I think that he does have some work to do on his runs, because he is running in straight lines. And when I think back to, and I've referenced it before, Matt Godden at Charlton away, the runs that he was making were always across the defender, in front of Sam Hughes, behind Sam Hughes, in and around them, in diagonal runs. And I think that's something that Gustav has to learn. I think that maybe Johnny been a little bit harsh that he didn't do anything. He had a chance or two, and he certainly looked like, and I think that maybe this is where he's trying to force his way into the game. Whenever he was picking up the ball on the halfway line, he looked like he was going to try and move it and move around a few players and stuff, and he looked like he wanted to carry it himself. But obviously, that's not what we need him to do in our team. We need him to be in the box and putting the ball in the back of the net. But ultimately, if the players can't find him making those runs, and it's difficult because he's not getting the minutes, and rightly so. I don't think he deserves the time on the pitch at the moment over somebody like Ricky. Obviously, that's going to change over the next three games, but it's really difficult because I don't think that it would be fair to write Gustav off at the moment. I think that that's probably something that comes in six months into next season. It's probably like February time in the 25-26 season if the goals aren't there still.
Yeah, I'm with you on not writing him off. I think that would be harsh given that he's only had such a limited amount of minutes. However, I do think there is a debate that I find this strange anyway, because I think Bradley Ivonian is miles ahead of Gustav Lindgren at the minute and such a better option than him to be using. And yet we've completely isolated Brad. And for me, he's shown a lot more in a posh shirt than Lindgren has. Lindgren's only good game so far is against Walsall's reserve team. And really, Brad at least has shown flashes. He gets involved. And I don't really get why Lindgren is the one we're backing at the minute. I just haven't seen that on the pitch. Now, Fergie gets the pleasure of watching these players in training, I guess, every day. So you have to back his judgment. And I'm guessing that Lindgren is looking a better player in training than Brad is. But that's not translating on the pitch. So I'm not writing him off, but he needs to come on a lot. And I am concerned if we're going to back him as a first-choice striker. I think at the minute, for me, you can have another 6 months on the bench and be a fringe player and force your way in. But he's shown nothing to me to make me think that he deserves to be the main man up front for Peterborough United next season.
I made a very similar point, John, last episode about Gustav. And I think the main thing for me is you need to look at how long it's taken Oscar Vallin to bed in. I think that this isn't Gustav's ceiling. There is so much more potential. It's just taken so long. And I probably the transition from the Swedish League to League One. And I think people need to realise that, because I think ultimately there is a player in there. However, what you say about Bradley, I am completely in the camp of. And I said it last week, the way that he can hold the ball up and create channels is a lot better than Gustav is. However, if we're going to back Gustav to be the talisman next season, I'm probably going to do a U-turn on my stance that I made last week and say, actually, I'd probably start him for the next three games. If we're going to back him, give him the minutes. If the plan for next season is going to be to have Brad on the bench and Gustav to start, then that's how we should probably end the season, rather than just letting Bradley play for three games straight now, give him a pre-season and then go, well, we're going back to Gustav because we've spent more money on Gustav. In terms of Ricky, I completely agree. That was a really nice way to side out with a goal. I got to see the snake one last time. And I don't think he'll play again, is what Fergie sort of said. His season sort of over. And it's going to be gutting when he goes, because I completely agree with Ash as well in terms of we're never going to see probably the best of him. And I think he's been excellent this season in terms of his forward play. I think he's been ace. Unfortunately, he hasn't probably given the send-off he'd want to have given, which would be to have Peterborough in a higher position than they are on the table at the moment. But look, he's done his part. And I thank him for the memories. And I think it's going to be really interesting now to see who can take his mantle up, whether that be Gustav or Bradley next season. And can they reach the heights that Ricky has reached? I think that's going to be really interesting to see. But I'm with Ash. I'm not ready to write Gustav off yet. But he's got to come on and start showing me something to sort of believe in. Because I like it when players show me a little bit, just a little bit of something that I can get excited over. Because if I don't see anything, I can't get excited. I can't get up for it. So if he can just come on and show us something in these last three games, then that'd be great.
Yeah, I can't get excited about Gustav either, because he didn't really do much for me today. I weren't really impressed, but I want to go back to Brad. Now, obviously, everybody knows I really like Big Bad Brad. You know, I fucking love him. And but big but, he got his chance to be on the bench today. Now, I was shit as a footballer, and I mean proper shit, and I was always on the bench. But when I felt there may be an opportunity for me to come on, I put the fucking effort in. I was warming up like a fucking maniac, you know, in front of the manager to sort of to show, I'm ready, boss, I'm ready to come on. Most of the time I didn't come on anyway, but even though I was putting the effort in. Now, if you look at Brad today, sorry, mate, but fuck me. If I was Fergie and I looked down the line at the lads warming up and there's Big Brad just stood there watching the game, I wouldn't have brought him on. You know, I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but he was just like, he looked disinterested. That's the way it come across to me. And even during the warm-ups before the game, half-time, it was just like, come on, man, fucking put a bit of effort in. Just, you've been given the opportunity, fucking take it with both hands to make sure that, you know, when the sub's going to be made, you're going to be the one that the manager thinks, right, is up for it, I need to bring him on. Because today, I'm sorry, mate, but you didn't look interested that you wanted to come on. Really, really needed to now to change that side of things. But hopefully it'll come with a bit of experience. And, you know, you'll be the main man next year because I can see, I feel Brad's got more than Gustav at the moment to offer. So let's see what happens there. But, you know, let's talk about some of the players that was on the pitch. I said earlier about some players that some very, very good moments and some shit. You know, Malik, Mothersill, for example. I think he's frustrating in a way that everybody can see that he's got something about him. And I've been harping on, when we signed him last year, I was harping on about him when he came from fucking Chelsea and how good he was when he scored them few goals against us in the Peterborough United Trophy. I think we should rename it the Peterborough United Trophy because we seem to win it quite often. But, you know, when he scored them few goals against us, I think that actually might be one of the last losses that we've had. But anyway, he was very, very good. And, you know, and you can see why he was an academy at a big club. But he was either very, very good today with some of his touches, some of his passes. But then a couple of times he was the wrong decision. So let's see. Hopefully he might be the main man in midfield doing that number 10 role next season. And, you know, see where we go. But I thought we had a good game. And, yeah, I don't know. It's a very inconsistent season for Malik, I think. But today, he was one of our better players as a whole, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree, Dow. And probably something that I'm going to take into next season is that actually we probably do have to just accept that the players are inconsistent and that they're in League One for a reason. And the reason that they're playing for Peterborough United is because of their inconsistencies. And once they stop being inconsistent, they're no longer a Peterborough United player. And Malik Mothersill probably is the perfect example of that, in that he has such a high potential, probably one of the highest from the majority of the attacking players because of the way that he sees the game and the things that he can do with the football. But because he's not doing it week in, week out, he'll probably, hopefully, sign a new contract at Poch and then get a move in a year or two. Who knows? Going back to Brad, like you mentioned, and his lack of game time today. I was sat next to you, wasn't I, watching him basically not even warm up, like sort of just dilly-dally around on the touchline. Just it's really harsh because it feels like he's been isolated. And pre-match he was just sort of stood on his own pinging balls to George Nevitt, half time something similar as well, and sort of putting them into Con Clark, and then warming up he was just sort of on his own. And it doesn't look good at the moment, to be honest with you. And it sort of looks like he knows that he's maybe not going to be here next season. Something's not right or something like that. And I don't want to just start making up transfer targets, but it's clearly not worked. Despite, you know, the fans like him, he's scored a great goal for us at Wrexham that's put us into the final of the Virtue Trophy. It just doesn't look like it's going to work for him at Peterborough United. He's not fit into the team, and that's unfortunate. And he's not been given a chance. Then we think about somebody that was given a chance today in Con Clark, the missing man, the sort of, where's he been for the last couple of weeks or so? And then you see today why he hasn't been given a chance. Comes onto the pitch, he looks like Bambi on ice. He slipped over three or four times. And that's not a criticism of him himself, but, you know, Ricky has been slagged off many a time for slipping over and looking like a daft twat. I wouldn't expect that from Con Clark. I would expect him to be better on his feet, and he's not making those seriously quick bursts of pace like Ricky does, why is he falling over? And then he comes on, and look, I think it was Lods that said it in the group chat during the game. He looks like a competition winner. He's so, so far off it at the moment. And it's just another one I hope can have another six-week preseason and come back next season and show us this player that was fantastic at Altrincham. But at the moment, I can't see it myself. I don't think he's good enough. And that's another massive shame, because it just looks like everything is trending towards the fact that we've just had crap recruitment last summer. And we've survived by the skin of our teeth with three games to go. I am seriously worried for next season, unless something big changes and some big signings come through the door, because I don't see how we get away with it next season with what we've got in the building at the moment.
I'm just going to go back to Malik before I go on Chris Conn-Clark. I have no doubt in my mind that next season is going to be Malik's year. I'm really confident in that. I think he's shown glimpses of it this year that he can really put it together. And I think he's just one preseason away from really clicking and being the next sort of Poku and Ephraim Mason-Clark off our conveyor belt. I just think he's fantastic. And I completely agree with the inconsistency. And I think next season, I've got a really high expectation that those inconsistencies will be lessened. I don't think they'll be completely gone, but I think he's going to perform more weeks than he has this year. And I'm really, really backing the lad to be that player, be that guy. Because this season it was Poku. Next season, it's all him. And I'm really confident in that fact. That brings me on to Chris Conn-Clark. Because Chris Conn-Clark's best position that we've seen him is the 10. And unfortunately, that looks like that's where Malik plays. And unfortunately, I don't see Chris Conn-Clark anywhere near the level of Malik Mothersill at the minute. And I don't think he'll ever get there. Which then begs the question, what do we do with him? Because I really do think that he probably needs to be given a run of games. But if our expectation is to be fighting for a playoff position or fighting for mid-table, which is by the sounds of things what we're hoping to do next year, how do we have the time of day to give him the opportunity to play? In the positions, are we going to be able to do that and find a system that's going to work with him? Because I think he's a player, if you build a system around him, it would be fantastic, but I don't think he's a player that can fit into any system and be fantastic. Very similar to how Joel Randall was. You know, you have to build a team around him for him to be fantastic. And even then, you know, Randall wasn't the most consistent player that we've ever had. Even though we probably built the whole front, the whole attack around his strength. So I think it's going to be a very interesting season for Chris Conn-Clark next year. And probably I'd send him out on loan. I wouldn't have him here next season. I mean, we don't usually do loans to senior players, I don't think, that mean that they're going to have a career here. Big loans, that is, you know, like Harley Mills to Enfield wasn't sort of the loan that I was talking about. But Chris Conn-Clark, you know, we spent a lot of money on him. I think he should go out on loan next season. And I think he should get League Two under his belt. I think a League Two club would snap him up in no time at all. We could probably offload 50% of his wage easily to a League Two team, maybe even more than that, and allow him to play for League Two. Rack those goals up, rack those appearances up, rack those minutes up, get his confidence back, because today was a stark difference to what we saw at the start of the season, with this sort of maverick that threw himself around, was relatively good in his feet and threw himself into challenges and tried to play the right ball and would shoot from anywhere when he wanted to. I did not see that at all today. He'd slip, he'd fall, he'd lose his man. When he lost his man, he wouldn't bust a gut to chase him. He'd let the man run on. It was a poor, poor cameo from Chris Conn-Clark today. And I'm hoping that if there is a moment where we decide that he is going to have a good Peterborough United career, I hope that he can turn it around in pre-season and show us why he should be playing. Very similar to Gustav, in that we need to see something from these players, because I think Fergie's probably in the same camp as we are in the fact that he's got to start seeing something on the pitch from any of these signings. Because right now, I just don't see where he's going to fit in next season, because he's certainly not fitting in front of Malik Mothersill.
I think for me, you've been quite generous loaning him out. I don't hate the idea, Max, but I think there's a genuine chance he gets sold this summer. The way he's performing and how far below the levels he is, the most concerning thing for me is Conclark's 2 years older than Malik Mothersill. We're not talking about a 19-year-old kid. He's 23. Like, he is a long way off it. And genuinely, I think today was not necessarily a day which exposed a load of players, but there's a numerous players in this team who, if they want to play in a team that wants to push for a top League One spot, they have a hell of a long way to go to get anywhere near it. And actually, I just think there's too many of them. Like you said, Ash, it's very hard to treat next season with anything other than trepidation. You look at someone like De Havilland today, right? Who, I don't think he played poorly today, but if I ask you three, can you name one good thing Ryan De Havilland did today? I think you'd be hard pressed to come up with an answer to me, because he's just so like nondescript all the time, and he's just a nothing player, and we have too many of them. Like Donny O'Brien Brady comes off the bench, he only played a few minutes, and it's not a dig at Donny really, but he can't be in our squad next season. He's not good enough. Con Clark's another one where the jury's out. I'd put Oscar Vallon in that category. Look, I don't like Oddo. I don't think he's good enough, but I think you can definitely say the jury's out on him. Some of you like him, but he certainly hasn't proven that he's a top League One winner this season. I think we can all agree on that. So there's so many of these players that you're going, you need to develop. George Nevitt, another one, for instance. There's so many of them that need to go up, not just one level. They're not like close to it. They are a long way away from being top League One players. And yeah, I kind of get it. Like, you're going into a third season and you can say, oh, they'll learn a lot off this season. But we have so many players that you're backing to come good, that some of these players are not going to come good. Like that's the harsh reality of it. Some of these players are not going to be good enough for League One. And as much as maybe one or two of them will come good, we can't go into next season with this many gambles, because it still feels, to me at least, that we have so many sort of gambles in this squad. We're no closer to knowing whether Con Clark's a League One player now than we were last summer, for instance. He hasn't done anything for the whole season that suggests, yeah, he looks like he's got it. And I think you summed it up, Max. He actually looks a worse player at the minute than he did in August. So, you know, are they developing? Have they got the ability to get there? And you can keep saying, oh, the recruitment's good, but I am seriously concerned. And another one who I'd put in the category is Kyle Johnston. Again, given another chance today, I thought he was relatively solid, but I'm just not seeing enough with these players that's making me go, yeah, he's got it. I think there's something to work with there. Like, we talk about Mothersill and he's really divisive, but you see flashes of real quality with him. I think you could even put Ricky J. Jones in that category. And Poku, let's think back to Poku 2 seasons ago. We all saw he had this ceiling. So many of these players, we're going, I just have seen nothing from. And that is a really worrying situation to be in for me. And it continued today, even the ones that we've given a chance to. So, look, they've got 3 games now. Pressure's off. I think a lot of them should be playing for their Peterborough United future for the rest of the season.
Fucking hell, John. Are you all right, mate? Just going off on one there. We've been all positive, and then you've just slated every fucking player that plays for Peterborough United. But I do get your point to a fashion. Some of them have been pretty poor. I am going to disagree with RDH. I do like him. And I've been saying it forever and a day. He is very, very middle of the road. He's steady. He's a steady Eddie.
Del. Can I stop you? Seeing as we're talking to De Havilland, can you answer my question? One notable thing he did on that game today?
No. Tell me one notable thing that he'd done bad.
If that's move what on. I'm saying. He's just so...
I agree. He is Mr. Reliable, and he is reliable, you know. And at the moment, we need a bit of reliability. I'm not saying it's the best option, but at the moment, he is steady. He's always been a steady Eddie. He'll come on, he'll do a job for you. I'm not saying he should be a starter next season, but I think he's a good person to have around as a squad player, because I think he would fill a gap for us. I'm with you with Odo. He's been having some good, better games than what he has in the middle of the season sort of thing. Is he really that good for next season? Jury's still out. And as Fergie said, that you know, some of these players have second season syndrome where they do improve. So we'll have to see, because it don't look like some of these will be going. And as for Poco, I wouldn't play him again the rest of the season. Fuck it, I'll find someone else to play. He's got his move wherever he's going, Birmingham probably. You know, we're safe. Let's use the last three games, even if we like get somebody out the under-21s. You know, get him in there. Just see what else we've got. I would go with somebody else. I wouldn't play him anymore, if I'm honest. And you know, players come, players go. They soon forgot about it. So let's just forget about them now. Let's make the most of it. So, but there we go. But I'd also agree with you about CJ. I'm disappointed with how he's come. What do you reckon, Ash?
I'm going to be honest, I think he's absolute dog shite. I would not have him anywhere near the team. Like, people, I understand that we needed some experience, and he's got 100 appearances under his belt at 23 years old. But those appearances are with a relegated Fleetwood team and then a League Two Fleetwood team. Like, he's not this fantastic player. People saying that, like Fergie saying he was the best, Ephraim Mason Clark saying that he was the best one-on-one defender. I've not seen it at all. He offers nothing going forwards. I don't think that he's that defensively sound. And we have this academy right back who I personally think, yes, he's had a very difficult season. The first half of the season for James Dornelli was incredibly tough, but he's grown into that position. Yes, he's maybe learnt from Carl Johnston, but I don't want to see anybody but James Donnelly playing for the rest of the season now. I think that he is streaks ahead of Carl Johnston, and we should be looking to develop our own players. Like I've said all along, I don't have an issue with us being shit if we're developing the players that have come through our academy setup. That's what we do as a football club. Carl Johnston, the only way that I can see him going is down. We're not going to sell him to a Championship team. We're not going to sell him to a Premier League team. We're not even going to sell him to somebody that's above us in League One. His next move will be down the football ladder. James Dornelli's next move will be up the ladder. So play those players that are going to move up the ladder. Play James Dornelli. Play Harley Mills. Play somebody like Malik Mothersill. All of those sorts of players. I don't agree with the Poku shout. I like to be entertained. I think that Poku has been a little bit greedy since he's come back, but I'm a paying supporter of the football club. I want to be entertained by the players on the pitch. I don't think that we should be putting somebody like Bolu, who's the 16-year-old lad, on the pitch just because, you know, Poku shouldn't be playing. I want to be entertained. I like watching Poku play. It's interesting. We've had a tweet come through whilst we've been recording from Matt PUFC, and I think it just sums it up perfectly. He says, finding the energy to sum up that game. We've sort of done like a mini season wrap-up because it's like the season's over. It's so nice that we've survived, and now it's like, what do we do for the next three games? And I said this a while back, is that I would have rather it gone to the last game and gone to Rotherham and there'd been something on the line, because at least you know then that every game matters. What we, if somebody had said to me, well, we don't need to record today and don't need to put a episode out, I'd have been, yeah, game. We've got no issue with that. We found some stuff to talk about, but, you know, the game was not a spectacle, was it? And it wasn't anything special. And that sort of just sums up this season altogether, and God forbid whatever happens next season.
Three more to go, Ash. Three more to go. You are a glutton for punishment, by the way, because I could not think of anything worse after the Crystal Palace fiasco than another last-day relegation decider. I do not want to go through one of them again in my entire life. So well done, Posh, for wrapping it up. Give me three nondescript and meaningless games towards the end of the season. I'm perfectly fine with that. It does feel a little bit anticlimactic. Then the next Posh game we're really going to watch and care about is August, though, isn't it? So we do have three more games to cover, though. So Bolton next, the return of Joel Randle, or perhaps not, seeing he can't even get on their bench because he's a terrible footballer, no matter what anybody says. Well, I'm going to go to Max first, because I want to know what you want to do with with Posh's team. Quite an interesting debate on Poku. What side of the fence do you sit on with that one? And is there any other changes you want to make here? Doesn't matter. Who do you want to go with? Anyone you want to see?
It's difficult, really, John, because if you'd asked me 4 games ago, or even three, you know, if you'd asked me before Wembley, if you said to me, look, Bolton at home, we're safe, who do you play? I probably wouldn't have played Hughes. I probably wouldn't have played Kiprianu. I probably wouldn't have played Poku. I probably wouldn't have played Ricky. But all of a sudden, it seems like all of our players' bodies have just given up. And we've just lost half the team over the course of about 3 games. I probably don't think we even see Manny for the rest of the season. Apparently, Ferg said his knee doesn't look very good. So I think we have to start Hughes because Katongo's going away, and we will not. I don't think we'll sign him back. So in any respect, the closest signing to a centre back that sort of we'd probably sign Hughes before we'd even look at Katongo. So I think Hughes has to play. I don't want to start O'Brien, Brady in De Havilland. So Kiprianu plays for me, and I am in Ash's boat. Entertain me for the last 3 games. Poku starts for me because at the end of the day, Ricky's got his send off today, scoring against Barnsley to get us into safety. Kiprianu got his goodbye, scoring the winner at Wembley, where Poku hasn't had his really, apart from the immaculate season that he's had. There's been riddled with injury, but his numbers are amazing. I'd like him to have his happy ending, and I'd like him to leave and set sail into the sunset, and you know, all three of our players leave on such high notes. And I feel like we're seeing a very greedy second half of the season, Ephraim Mason-Clark type of Poku, rather than seeing Poku in his full strength, which is tearing League One fullbacks a new asshole and playing our forwards and players into positions where they can score. And if he wants to, go and score on his own. So that's the Poku that I miss. And that's the Poku I hope I can see for the last 3 days, because let's be real, I don't think he's got anything to prove. I think every agent in the whole country, apart from probably the Premier League, are looking at him and trying to, and every club want him. So I think he doesn't have anything left to prove. He should just enjoy his last 3 games here before he gets a bigger move, because that's what's going to happen. So for me, it'd be Steer. Then I'm playing Mills, Wallin, Hughes, Dornelli, and then I'm playing De Havilland, Kiprianu, and I'm playing Mothersill, Oddo, Poku, and Gustav Lindgren. Although, if Bradley was to start, I would throw limbs, but I think it's got to be Gustav Lindgren if he's going to be our talisman next season.
Before we go any further, Max, I should point out, before anyone else names a team, Oscar Vallin is unavailable for the rest of the season. He's got a hernia injury that he's been playing with for the last couple of months, and Fergie says he will not play again this season. So you can't have him.
Hang on. Can I redo my team? I think that the players should just draw random positions from a hat and just sack it off for the last 3 games. Poku can play in goal. Jed Steer can play striker. Bring the youngsters in as well. Look, if Wallen's out, then it'll have to be Katongo, and it'll have to be Katongo and Hughes, and I presume that'll be the partnership to the end of the season, but that'll be grim. So make it entertaining, Posh. Draw some positions out of the hat and let's see what happens.
I just thought I'd like to backtrack on what I said about it being the worst transfer window of the season. I've actually forgot that we did manage to get rid of Joel Randall in January to Ian Everett, to Bolton. So actually, you know, to get our money back, which is allegedly what's happened to a football team that wanted him and then sacked their manager, and now Schumacher doesn't want him anywhere near the team. That is a fucking fantastic piece of business. So well done there. I didn't realise that about Oscar, and that is a concern, because have we got anyone? Is Bilo going to have to play centre back? I think that there's a chance that it might have to happen, or we may end up. We're not having Nevitt. No chance. No chance is Nevitt getting on the pitch before Bilo. Just put Bilo at centre back with Hughes. It'd just be a laugh, like Max says. I said that I wanted to play for vibes. What better vibes than playing people out of position? Very concerning. I think that if we lose against Mansfield and we lose against Rotherham, yes, that will be frustrating, but you'd hope that next weekend against Bolton will be a big crowd. And if you think back to our last home game last season, that was Bolton as well, and that was a really entertaining game. And I just like similar. I'd like people to go and enjoy the football, clap the players after the game. I'm not a massive fan. I wasn't a massive fan of it last year because we knew that we had the playoffs to play in. And it's like you're doing a parade, but the season's not over and you're clapping people. At least this season, we know that our season is finished and we can applaud the players. Whether they deserve it or not is a different question. But, you know, to go out in a home game on a high, then, yeah, it would be good. I'll go with my team then. I think, like you say, steering goal, Dawn Elliott right back, Mills at left back. It's going to have to be Nevitt and Hughes, isn't it? Jokes aside, we're not going to be playing Bilo at centre back. But if Manny is injured, Katongo's injured and Wallin's injured, then I guess it's going to be somebody like Jensen Sumnell on the bench as a centre-back option because Ollie Rose is at Scunthorpe still, De Havilland. I actually think that I would like to switch De Havilland for Donny O'Brien Brady for another game because I think that O'Brien Brady moves around the pitch a little bit faster. Like when he came on today, yes, he only had 5 minutes. He'd probably given the sole task of just run around and get in people's faces. I do think he moves around the pitch a little bit better. Yes, his passing maybe isn't as good. And then the front four picks itself, doesn't it? Then, you know, Gustav up top, Malik Odo and Poku for the rest of the season. And then hopefully we get to see half an hour of Brad maybe towards the back end of the pitch in front of the London Road end. He gives off Clark Harris vibes for me and sort of the way he struts around the pitch and moves around and is willing to battle for his team. Let's let him get a couple of goals in front of the London Road end to sign off the season.
So, did what's his name come on today, by the way? The little fucking weasel. What's his name? Joe Randall. I know he was on the bench, but did he come on? No? There we go, shock. You watch, the fucker will start and he'll have the game of his life because that's what normally happens, isn't it? Fucking prick. Hopefully he's shit, but My team, oh, I don't even know. Gotta go Steer. I might even go Blackmore just for the shits and giggles. I would go Nevitt and Hughes because why not? See what happens. The usual back two. I'd go with Donnelly. What are you doing, Max? I'd go Donnelly and I would also go Harley Mills, obviously. Midfield. Do you know what? I'm Ash has like sort of put me in a bit of a pickle here because for all my love with RDH, I was happy to see Donny O'Brien Brady. Come on. He done all right for the start of the season. So, yeah, maybe give him a run out alongside Kiprianu, even though he's been pretty poor. Odo, Malik, obviously, I would go with Brad. Provided he pulls his fucking finger out and shows a bit of interest. But I wouldn't play Poku. I don't even know who could play in his position, but I would just like get my, you know, my attitude is once a player plays for you, yeah, excellent support and give them all this, whatever. But once they're going, fuck off, go. You know, thank you very much on your merry way. So, and as for the end of the season, what you were just saying, Ash, about clapping the players, you're not one for it. But however shit this season may seem, it's turned out to be one of our most successful seasons again, isn't it? By winning a trophy, rightly or wrongly. You know, you can look at it whatever way you want. We won a trophy, we've made history. So it is relatively successful from that side of things. So let's look at the positives. We'll take them out of that. And also, talking about Wembley, it wasn't Albie, by the way, who I was so convinced it was. It was Amadou. Or was it Amadeo? Amadeo. You know, because he reminded me of the song Amadeus, Amadeus, you know, which is obviously different. So Amadeo. Sorry, mate. One day I'll get it wrong. But it's nothing personal because I'm shit with everybody's names, as you well know. So that would be my team, I reckon. And let's see what happens. Go out and enjoy it. I just hope if Randall does play, he is fucking dog shit because he was when he played for us.
Yeah, I'm not going to run you through my whole team. I'm just proposing a couple of things. One, maybe we do like a clap in the 14th minute. A clap for Bolton Wanderers for giving us £1 million for the absolute fraud that is Joel Randle. And maybe we can give them a few, you know, drinks tokens as well for the fans. Just give them some of that money back. Maybe we'll, how much is that going to cost? 20 grand? We've got a million of the Queen's finest sterling for Joel Randle. I mean, what, we could give buy 3 Abraham Oddos for that. Anyway, I am going to start with, I actually would play Nevitt onto the game. I would play Nevitt. I'd have Sam Hughes childminding with Dornelli, Nevitt and Harley Mills at the back. Probably put Jed behind them. And then the rest of the team, just do what you want, Fergie, to be honest. I would keep playing Poku, just give him the send-off. Hopefully he wants to turn up, you know, for these last few posh games. I'm not expecting too much. And with that said, we're going to go straight to predictions. Derek, what is the score going to be on Saturday?
Okay, so before we go any further, there's only a couple of people to call me Derek. My mum, my wife, and my nan used to before she died. But, you know, we won't go into that any further. So my prediction, I don't fucking know. So we're having Nevitt at the back. We're having... let's go 3-3. I ain't gonna do a defeat. I'm gonna go a 3-3, and Brad is gonna score a fucking goal. All right, 3-3. That's my score.
Well, Bolton got pumped today by Lincoln 4-2, and I'm gonna match that score again. I think we're gonna win 4-2. I literally don't care who scores the goals anymore. I don't care that we're gonna concede. Like I said, let's go out with a bang, and just enjoy playing at home one more time this season. Yeah, 4-2 for me.
2-2. Bolton's playoff stream's over. Our season's over. It's going to be one of them awful games, I think, where neither team really gives too much of a shit, and it's just going to peter out, and everyone's going to forget everything that happened in this match. 2-2.
I'm going to go 1-0 win, and it's going to be good stuff, and he's going to shush me.
Well, that is a wrap. We are done. In the comments, we'd love to hear from you in the YouTube comments or Twitter, Up the Poshcast. What's your lineup for the Bolton game? Are you starting Poku? Are you starting George Nevitt? There's a couple of questions for you. And also, if you can name a better sale than Joel Randle, I'd love to hear it, because I think that is one of Posh's finest bits of transfer business in recent memory anyway. With that said, that is the end of the episode. We will be back after the Bolton game. Well, hopefully we're recapping another win and Posh's march up to, well, how far can we get now? 12, 14, somewhere like that. Anyway, Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast. Do you know what, right? The reason I was fucking nice to most of the players today, because we're going to be seeing them tomorrow in the fucking season awards. So hopefully none of them come and batter me.